Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, July 25th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a setback for the Independence Party, Dayton speaks at a pro-Israel rally, and the border crisis in Minnesota. Independence Party gubernatorial candidate Hannah Nicolette has failed to raise the $35,000 she needed to qualify for the state's public campaign subsidy. Tim Pugmire reports.
Nicolette will lose out on a $178,000 subsidy available to major party candidates for governor. That money will now be divided between the DFL and Republican nominees if both have agreed to accept the subsidy and abide by its spending limits. Nicolette, a first-time candidate for office, said she raised a little more than $16,000 by Monday's deadline. She said she'll continue seeking donations and try to spread her message.
I will just keep using social media and make videos and hope that they resonate with people and build up from a grassroots effort.
Nicolette won the IP endorsement for governor in May after switching from a bid for U.S. Senate. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
A judicial panel has dismissed a complaint against State Auditor Rebecca Otto filed by her DFL primary opponent Matt Intenza's campaign. Tom Scheck has more.
The complaint was about a statement Otto made on her Facebook page about a vote in 2003 for a voter ID law when she was a state legislator. Otto said she didn't vote for it, but the campaign manager for Matt Intenza said she did and filed the complaint saying she violated state law by misrepresenting her record. The Office of Administrative Hearings dismissed the case, saying there was no evidence to support the claim that Otto made her statement knowing it was false. There are no disputed facts in the case, the panel wrote, only different interpretations of the meaning of the phrase voter ID. Intenza has been trying to make Otto's votes for voter ID and for a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage an issue in the DFL primary contest for state auditor. Otto says she campaigned heavily against both during the 2012 campaign after the GOP-controlled legislature put them on the ballot. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Governor Mark Dayton showed strong support for Israel at an event last night in Minnetonka. Dayton spoke at the Community Gathering for Israel, an event put on by the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas. About 1,300 people attended the event. The governor had harsh words for Hamas, saying the Palestinian political organization is not representing Gazans who want peace. Instead, he says they've pursued conflict.
So tonight I join with you in expressing my support for the people of Israel who are defending themselves against Hamas's terrorism. Tonight we stand with them.
Dayton spoke for about 5 minutes. Outside, a group sang in support of Israel while Palestinian supporters protested. Minneapolis attorney Jordan Kushner was among the group from the Minnesota Coalition of Palestinian Rights.
Well, we want to see the U.S. cut off military and other aid for Israel that enables them, and the political support that enables them to engage in these actions. And we'd like to see Israel abide by international law to end the occupation of Palestine and provide equal rights.
Kushner also criticized the killing of civilians. The crisis on the southern U.S. border is being felt in Minnesota. The U.S. government estimates 90,000 children traveling alone will show up at the border with Mexico this year. The children are coming from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, and fleeing violence in their home countries. A small number of children have been released to relatives here in Minnesota, and state leaders and nonprofits are preparing for the possibility of more arrivals. Sasha Eslanian reports.
Thousands of children are being housed at military bases in Texas, California, and Oklahoma, and the federal government has been looking for more temporary shelter space. Governor Mark Dayton's spokesman says Minnesota doesn't have any facilities available that meet the requirements of being large, unoccupied, near a major airport or city, and with the needed services. Dayton's press secretary Matt Swenson said in an email to NPR News that citizens and nonprofits are providing housing, legal assistance, and social services on an individual basis, and state agencies are supportive of that. Earlier this week, Minnesota 5th District Congressman Keith Ellison met with advocates to brainstorm ways to increase Minnesota's response to the crisis. Ellison said today on the Daily Circuit that he's spoken with Governor Dayton about the lack of housing for unaccompanied minors, and he's not discouraged.
I think the governor was just saying, look, you know, we looked at available space and we just didn't have, we couldn't meet that particular need, but that doesn't mean we can't explore other options as we move forward.
In the first half of this year, 173 unaccompanied children have been released to sponsors in Minnesota, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. John Keller of the Immigrant Law Center in St. Paul says resettling children with relatives and family friends is a more typical pattern for a northern state like Minnesota. Keller says that's a better solution than adding detention facilities.
About 85% of unaccompanied minors are ultimately resettled with a family member, and that makes sense. It keeps people out of state or federal custody. It gives them an alternative to being in detention that also is the healthiest place for these kids to be, and we have already seen for the last several years, as the numbers of minors have been increasing, that trend will continue. We expect that is what will happen here with Minnesota as well.
The International Institute of Minnesota is a nonprofit that's done refugee resettlement in Minnesota for decades. Since last October, it's reunited 7 unaccompanied minors with relatives in Minnesota. Those children have ranged from age 6 to 17. Once the children find their family members or caretakers in Minnesota, their cases are far from over. The Advocates for Human Rights has taken on legal cases for 20 unaccompanied minors this summer. Director of Advocacy Michelle Garnett McKenzie says there's a misperception among the public that these children are home free.
And the reality is, of course, that the children are being released to families and are in deportation proceedings. And there is a strong message from the administration that they can and will be deported. We think that's an overstated message that is really unfortunate. The administration is trying to deter people from seeking asylum, which is not right. If people need asylum, they should be allowed to seek and enjoy that asylum.
Garnett McKenzie says people should understand the grave situation on the ground in Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. Since 2008, people from those countries have flooded into other Latin American countries, not just the United States. Sasha Eslanian, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I will see you again here next week.